Grace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today is a festival Sunday. Today we celebrate the festival of Christ the King. But I can't help but wonder, and maybe you're wondering too, in light of today's gospel, why Luke's message focuses on a dying Jesus, especially if we want to uplift Jesus as king. Doesn't that seem a little strange to you? You'd think it would be much more appropriate to highlight a triumphant, victorious image of our Lord, more along the lines of Jesus descending from the clouds on a mighty golden chariot. Why present for our reflection a picture of Jesus dying and defeated on a cross? The timing just appears wrong, especially when we consider that in 1 week we begin the season of Advent and embark on the four-week journey that draws us toward the celebration of Christmas. Why in the world would anyone want to place the grisly, ghastly details of the crucifixion next to the joyous jubilee of Christmas? Well, I'm going to be bold enough to say it needs to be done this way. For the message of the cross and Christmas are intricately intertwined. The events of Bethlehem so long ago would have no meaning without the happenings on that dark, lonely hillside called Golgotha. Both events, the cross and Christmas, as well as the marvelous life of our Lord that unfolds in between, tell us much about the kind of king our Lord truly is. Let me say a bit more. Given the world's view of what we should represent power and prestige, I'm confident that if it were up to us, we would have presented Jesus to the world in a far different manner. We wouldn't allow Jesus to arrive in our midst without some fanfare. If we had our way, Jesus' arrival would be marked by a barrage of public announcements on the television or radio, huge splash across every available form of social media. This is how a wonderful, almighty King of Kings should be announced to the world, right? But if you look at Scripture, you see a much different story. Yes, Jesus' birth was announced by a brilliant heavenly light, but only a few took the time to seek out what it truly meant. Yes, angels came to proclaim the birth of the world's Savior, and yet this announcement was delivered to a surprisingly motley crew of shepherds. When you think about it, Jesus entered our world in the company of strangers, in the midst of a troubled time filled with political unrest, appearing in an overcrowded, tiny little village with no rooms, bedded down for his first nap in a feed trough of animals. And when wise men from a foreign land came to worship him and asked questions, the local authorities issued a death warrant to ensure that no king would come and be present on the scene. So really now, what kind of a king could Jesus possibly be? So vulnerable is he, so contrary to what we would expect a king to be. But if you think his birth is strange, just consider how Jesus dies. Mocked by nearly everyone who witnesses his crucifixion, tortured by the cruelty and chaos of the world, consider how Jesus submits himself to death, even though as King of the universe, He could have done things much differently. Vulnerable and virtually unnoticed as the child of Bethlehem, our Lord Jesus, just as quietly and humbly, does the work of redeeming the world, giving his life on a cross and praying with his last breath, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." From his birth to his death and beyond, our Lord Jesus reminds us his entire life that his relationship with us is never one that is lofty, detached, unconcerned from on high like earthly figures of power and prestige. Instead, our Lord Jesus, King Jesus, tells us through the gift of his life that it is his heart's desire to establish his kingdom, not in some powerful worldly fashion, but within the heart of each and every one of us. A hymn writer has captured this thought so well with the third verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem. The third verse, listen to these words. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Yes, it seems the cross and Christmas do belong together. And how wonderful to have this festival Sunday uplift Christ as King and say so. For truly, Jesus' dying moments on the cross say more to us than we realize about the kind of King our Lord Jesus came to be. Let's look once more at that story from our gospel. In the eyes of the world, any justly accused criminal who receives a penalty for his or her crimes rarely, if ever, has a reason or a right to believe anything but, "I'm guilty. It's too late for me. My life is over." And yet, here we have a criminal on the cross, bold enough to plead with Jesus for his future. Imagine, gasping for his last breath, a thief makes a confession of his own sinfulness and then turns to Jesus saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Was this just an act of last desperation? Was it an insight of the heart that led this one who deserved death to plead for life from the Lord of life? Scripture makes it clear it was a life-changing act, especially as we hear these words from the lips of our Lord, who delivers a promise from the cross, the most unlikely of thrones. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Such a promise from a dying man would seem to be the essence of foolishness, but when that promise is uttered by the King of creation, whether he's suspended on a cross, standing on a lakeshore when everyone thought he was dead, touching us with renewed strength and hope through the bread and wine of communion, or blessing our hearts with an inner peace that passes all understanding, our Lord Jesus continually reminds us all, it's never too late for anyone yearning for a new beginning who dares believe. Jesus, Christ the King, is King of all kings. Thanks be to God. Amen. It is my great privilege now to